The Soul Cages. Jack Doherty lived on the coast of the County Clare. Jack was a fisherman, as his father and grandfather before him had been. Like them, too, he lived all alone, but for the wife, and just in the same spot. There was a neat little creek where a boat might lie as snug as a puffin in her nest, and out from this creek a ledge of sunken rocks ran into the sea. Now when the Atlantic, according to custom, was raging with a storm, and a good westerly wind was blowing strong on the coast, many a richly laid ship went to pieces on these rocks. And then the fine bales of cotton and tobacco, and such like things, and the pipes of wine, and the puncheons of rum, and the casks of brandy, and the kegs of hollands that used to come ashore. Dunbeg Bay was just like a little estate to the Dohertys. Not but they were kind and humane to a distressed sailor, if ever one had the good luck to get to land. But when the ship had gone to pieces and the crew were all lost, who would blame Jack for picking up all he could find? "And who is the worse of it?" said he. "For as to the king, God bless him, everybody knows he's rich enough already without getting what's floating in the sea." Jack, though such a hermit, was a good-natured, jolly fellow. No other, sure, could ever have coaxed Biddy Mahony to quit her father's snug and warm house in the middle of the town of Ennis, and to go so many miles off to live among the rocks, with the seals and seagulls for next-door neighbours. But Biddy knew that Jack was a man for a woman who wished to be comfortable and happy. Many a strange sight, it may well be supposed, did Jack see, and many a strange sound did he hear, but nothing daunted him. So far was he from being afraid of meadows, or such beings, that the very first wish of his heart was to fairly meet with one. What vexed him was that both his father and grandfather had often and often seen them. Fortune at length began to think that it was only right that Jack should know as much as his father and grandfather did. Accordingly, one day when he had strolled a little farther than usual along the coast to the northward, just as he turned a point, he saw something, like to nothing he had ever seen before, perched upon a rock at a little distance out to sea. It looked green in the body, as well as he could discern at that distance, and he would have sworn, only the thing was impossible, that it had a cocked hat in its hand. Jack stood for a good half hour straining his eyes and wondering at it, and all the time the thing did not stir hand or foot. At last Jack's patience was quite worn out, and he gave a loud whistle and a hail, when the meadow, for such it was, started up, put the cocked hat on its head, and dived down head foremost from the rock. Jack's curiosity was now excited, and he constantly directed his steps towards the point. Still, he could never get a glimpse of the sea gentleman with the cocked hat. One tremendous, blustering day, before he got to the point whence he had a view of the meadow's rock, the storm came on so furiously that Jack was obliged to take shelter in one of the caves which are so numerous along the coast. And there, to his astonishment, he saw sitting before him a thing with green hair, long green teeth, a red nose, and pig's eyes. It had a fish's tail, legs with scales on them, and short arms like fins. It wore no clothes, but had the cocked hat under its arm, and seemed engaged, thinking very seriously about something. Jack, with all his courage, was a little daunted. But now or never, thought he, so up he went boldly to the cogitating fishman, took off his hat and made his best bow. "Your servant, sir," said Jack. "Your servant, kindly Jack Doherty," answered the man.